Sparkle Stories, and By Thistle by Thimble. The Fisher from the Top Branch. There is a waterhole in the Serengeti Plains of Africa that is between the harsh, dry, southeastern grasslands and the Grumeti River that marks the cooler, wetter plains to the north and west. This waterhole is lovingly called Jumuiya ya Maji, or community water, because during the dry season it is the only source of water for many miles around, the only place for drinking, bathing, and healing for a wide variety of animals, birds, and lizards. The waterhole is abundant and wide at the end of the wet season, and as the weeks and months unfold during the dry season, the water level sinks and sinks until all that is left is a small, round, but deep pool that is challenging for all the animals to use. During this time, lions, cheetahs, wildebeests, gazelles, antelopes, hyenas, jackals, giraffes, elephants, rhinoceroses, warthogs, hares, mice, lizards, and so many birds struggle to get enough water to survive until the wet season begins again. And this can be a challenge, to say the least. Now imagine a lion standing next to a zebra, or say a jackal next to a hare. Well, how do you think the zebra and the hare might feel? Or imagine 10 flamingos standing in the water together when suddenly hundreds of wildebeests come storming in to join them. Or what would happen if a monitor lizard was cooling off at the water hole's edge when an enormous elephant steps over her? Yes, there were challenges indeed. Luckily, the animals and birds and reptiles of that area realized something very important: that every single one of the species, from giraffes to the snakes and the cheetahs to the secretary birds, were needed. All of them needed to survive for the Serengeti to be the Serengeti. The lions needed the gazelles for food, and the gazelles needed the birds to pollinate and help the grass grow, and the birds needed the rhinoceroses to attract bugs to eat, and all of them needed water. It was essential that all creatures of that land get the water they needed. But that realization didn't necessarily make it any easier. There were still plenty of squabbles and arguments, and there were even some fights. So over time, the creatures of the Jumuiya ya Maji, the community waterhole, made an agreement. Every wet season, they would elect one of the animals to monitor the water and decide how best to make sure all the creatures got what they needed. They called this animal the water prefect, and they all agreed that the prefect's word was final. And this mostly worked. It definitely decreased the amount of challenges, but it also changed them. One thing that happened is that the creatures of the Jumuiya ya Maji formed groups to support the common needs of that group. So, for instance, the lions, leopards, cheetahs, jackals, hyenas, and foxes, who all hunted for their food and needed lots of water to clean up as well as keep hydrated from chasing their prey, they formed a group called the Cat and Dog Coalition. And The elephants, the rhinoceroses, the warthogs, and the hippopotamuses called themselves the Tough Skins, and they needed water for mud baths and keeping cool. So the zebras, wildebeests, the impalas, the gazelles, they formed a group called the Herd, and since they had big numbers, having enough water for the whole group was important. And then the last group was by far the most numerous. The Small Creature Network, or the SCN, consisted of monkeys and mice and mongooses and bats, rabbits, all the birds and the reptiles. So, each of these four groups had a voice in deciding who the prefect would be. They had a chance to state their case, to argue the reasons why their group needed the water that they needed, and then, group by group, they would vote for a prefect. Now, one of the immediate challenges was that for many years, an animal from the cat and dog coalition was always elected. There were several lions, there were some cheetahs, and then occasionally a jackal or a smaller cat was elected to be prefect, on the assumption that the top of the food chain knew what was best for everyone below them. They said that the big cats and the dogs were natural leaders, and it was best to let them do what they did so well. But after a while, the other groups didn't agree so much. They noticed that the big cats always got the first drinks and spent lots of time washing their paws or their faces before members of the other groups even had a chance. "Hey, we are thirsty," called the baboons from the trees. "You'll have your chance," often responded the lion who was leader that year. And after a while, the other groups started to consider and support creatures from a different group, and they thought that maybe someone from the Tough Skins should be prefect. And elephants and rhinos proved to be good leaders, but the other animals got frustrated with how much water they used for their baths and making mud.
"I can't be a good leader if I am distracted by flies," said the black rhino, who was prefect for that year.
"But the water is getting so dirty," cried the zebras.
One year they all elected a wildebeest, but that was a disaster. That wildebeest felt uncomfortable making decisions without the rest of the entire herd, and a lot of time was spent considering the same question over and over and over and over. But remarkably, no member of the SCN, or the Small Creature Network, had ever been elected, even though, by far, they had the most members. For reasons that were unclear, they always sat back and voted for leaders from the other parties. Until one year. One year, there was a particularly knowledgeable and capable Fisher's Lovebird who stepped up and said that it was time for a smaller creature to be prefect. Her name was Yuelewa, and like many lovebirds, she was friends with many birds and monkeys and mongooses and even some of the wild dogs. She knew them by name and remembered their families, and truly, she was a natural leader. She probably would have been easily elected prefect that year had there not been another animal who proved to be a very strong candidate as well. He was a very big leopard named Kubwa, and he was, of course, a prominent member of the Cat and Dog Coalition. He was known for giving speeches from the trees he had climbed and booming his deep voice for all to hear.
"It is time to bring back the old ways," he often called. "The system worked when we had clear leadership, when there was order and a plan. Water is a life and death issue, and not a place for feelings. If you want a strong leader, if you want a confident leader, if you are tired of the squabbling and confusion and the short-sighted decisions, then vote for me.
Yualewa saw that the cat and dog coalition was now getting the interest and attention of the Toughskins, and so she decided to fly into the same tree and give her own speech.
We forget that the old ways favored a select few and left the many smaller animals and birds and reptiles to share much less water between us. I believe the small folk need equal voice. They need to be represented, and remember that in order for the Serengeti to thrive, all her species must thrive.
This went back and forth for a long time. More and more speeches got progressively more and more emotional and contentious.
She is not being realistic, said Kubwa at one point. She is ignoring our history and can't see that the big cats and tough skins are much bigger than the others, and we need more water.
He will only represent the few, said Yualewa in return. We have to look at what is true right now, and what is true is that the birds and monkeys and even the zebras and dogs still have to wait in line, and that is not fair.
Both Yualewa and Kubwa had their supporters, and both sides got very worked up over the election. Big cats started calling the birds names without even knowing them, and the monkeys started whispering about the elephants and the rhinos behind their backs. It wasn't a good time, and all the animals were upset and fearful and worried about what was going to happen. And then finally, the election came. The Tough Skins and the Cat and Dog Coalition voted for Kubwa, the leopard, while the herd and the SCN voted for Yualewa, the lovebird. And since the numbers were far higher for the lovebird, she won. Now, in the past, election day and night was a celebration of a new leader, the transfer of power, a new age where things could be improved, where their system would get a new set of eyes and ideas. But this year was different. This year, the animals and birds and reptiles felt anxious and resentful. Kubwa's supporters felt resentful that they were not being represented. They worried that the lovebird would change all the rules and make life difficult for the bigger animals. Yualewa's supporters, however, felt anxious. They knew that the lovebird would represent them, but they felt unsafe, knowing that the much bigger animals were now angry. So no one felt happy. The community waterhole no longer felt like it had much of a community. So, Yualewa was faced with a big challenge. What to do? How to celebrate a new age while reassuring those who liked the old way that they were still a part of the community? So she flew onto a branch of the acacia tree next to the waterhole and thought about what she would say. And she saw that so many of the animals and birds and reptiles had come to the waterhole that she couldn't see them very well from that branch, so she flew to a higher branch and then needed to fly to an even higher branch and then all the way to the top branch on the tree. And then she could see them. And what she saw took her breath away. Before her was the most beautiful mix of creatures. There were huge elephants and tiny little mice. There were tracks of zebras and flutterings of flamingos. There were golden cats, bluebirds, green snakes, black dogs. It looked like a sea of life all surrounding a little round blue-green ring of water. Of water. They were all here because of the water. And it was in that moment that she realized her true duty. It was the water. They all needed water to live, to survive, and ultimately to thrive. The water was why they were here and how they would heal from the division they were now facing. "Cats and dogs," she called out. The murmuring quieted, and then all eyes, some smiling, some frowning, looked up to her. "Cats and dogs, tough skins, the herd, Essien, all of you, look. Look there, at the water. Look at why we are here." All the creatures gathered a little closer, and then shifted their gaze from Yualewa to the water. Several licked their lips, and others narrowed their eyes in confusion. "We are all here for that precious resource, for drink, for bathing, and indeed for healing. Well, all you animals, birds, and reptiles, we all need healing right now. We need healing from this election, and the water that brought us together will help us heal. As your elected prefect of Jumuiya ya Maji, this is what I would like you all to do." There was some murmuring as they all looked back to the lovebird. Some weren't interested in doing what she wanted, and others were starting to get upset that the other creatures were getting upset. "No one will drink or bathe until you have done one thing. One very simple, but perhaps not very easy thing. I want you to talk to one member of every other party. Every one of the other three groups that is not a part of your group, and you need to ask them one question. And that question is this: why is the water important to you? You will ask them that question, and then you will listen quietly to their answer. That's all. You do that with one member of each group, and then, by the end of that, you may want to invite one of those animals or birds or reptiles to share in a drink of water together." They were all quiet. For a moment, all the creatures surrounding the waterhole did not speak, and instead were trying to make sense of what she just said. And then the silence was broken by a loud fluttering of a huge flock of guinea fowl who suddenly flew up and out, dispersing themselves in the crowd. Some went to cats and dogs, some went to tough skins, some went to members of the herd, but they immediately landed, picked out an animal, and asked the question, "Why is the water important to you?" The other animals didn't have time to complain or question or even hesitate. They were immediately forced to begin the process. And they answered the question.
"I get tired from my work, and a cool drink is what I need to continue on," said one lion to a small guinea hen.
A secretary bird then asked a nearby wildebeest the question, and the wildebeest answered,
"The herd
can only move if we all have enough water.
A wildcat asked a giraffe, who answered,
I don't need much, just enough to wet the acacia leaves that get stuck in my mouth. Baths are super important, said a black rhino to a baboon. Otherwise, the flies drive me crazy.
The entire crowd of creatures was suddenly filled with conversation. Yuwalewa, the newly elected prefect, looked around and saw animated conversation, deep listening, smiles, tears, and even laughter. She could see that the healing had begun. But then she saw one that was not conversing, not listening, not even participating. Kubwa the leopard had climbed into a tree and was now all alone. Immediately she flew to a nearby branch and said,
You were right.
This took Kubwa by surprise, and he looked over to her.
What?
He asked.
You were right, she repeated, about ignoring history. I have been totally focused on changing things and not honoring what has worked in the past. I have a lot of questions for you, Kubwa, and I hope you will help me and help the entire community by answering them. Questions about the past, questions about the bigger animals and their needs, questions about meat eaters as opposed to plant eaters like myself. But the most important question I have, the one I need to ask you right now, is why is the water important to you? And then she was quiet. She did not say anything else, and instead, she listened. And as Kubwa, the leopard, answered the question, first talking about his thirst and then the sacred act of washing up after a hunt, Yuwalewa was quiet. She learned some things about Kubwa and the big cats. She nodded in understanding, and her eyes even welled up with tears at one point. But she did not say anything. She didn't offer an opinion or even ask other questions. She just focused on him, on Kubwa, on the leader of the cat and dog coalition, yes, but more importantly, an animal that shared the water with her, as well as every other creature of the Jumuiya ya Maji, the community water.
This has been an original story from Sparkle Stories at sparklestories.com. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved. We hope you enjoyed it.